Second major of the year gets underway tomorrow at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our good friend Steve Sands is with us. Steve, of course, with the Golf Channel and with NBC. But also Steve is a local and would much prefer, I'm sure, to talk about whether or not the Caps can bounce back from the 3-1 deficit. Or, I don't know, are you into schedule talk or not? You know how much I'm into it. Are you into it? I forget if we've had these conversations before.
It's arguably my favorite of all of your podcasts and all of your bits is the mock schedule. I think it's fantastic. I love it. And congratulations on getting the Madrid game right. And, by the way, now that KC is going to Dallas on Thanksgiving, I do think that Packer Christmas Day game is alive. So you might be.
You haven't been listening.
Oh, no.
I was the one that broke the news about an hour and a half ago.
The Giants?
Washington is hosting Dallas on Christmas Day.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh,
Washington, Dallas, it'll be on Netflix, probably a 1 o'clock game. It might be 4:30, but I'm hearing 1 o'clock. But that was one I was able to not only hear about, but get sourced and confirmed. Skins Cowboys on Christmas Day.
Oh, my gosh. How good is that? I love
it. Yeah, I mean, you know, they've never played on Christmas Day. Obviously, the Skins and Cowboys have played many times on Thanksgiving Day. Christmas Day seemed like a possibility once they got Madrid. And that's, you know, they're going to be in a lot of other high-profile spots. I think they're going to play Green Bay Week 2 on Thursday Night Football at Lambeau. And then I think they're going to play a Monday night game at Arrowhead at some point during the season.
Yeah, I think the Arrowhead game and the Lambeau game are going to be big, big spots. I was telling Valerie the other day that don't get used to those 1 o'clock kicks anymore on Sunday.
Right.
I said we're going to have five or six, maybe less than that, of the 17 games. It's going to be a completely different world for all of us Skins fans.
How do you feel about something that we've talked about the last couple of days? If Trey Hendrickson is available for, let's just say, next year's first, and keep in mind, we're not giving away high first-round picks anymore. They're more likely than not going to be in the bottom third of the pecking order. Would you do it?
One of the reasons the smell test is so successful, Kevin, is because of recency bias. People see what they see the week prior, and then they bet the way they saw what they just saw as opposed to what might be happening the following week. The same thing goes in all of sports when it comes to any type of success. The last thing we all saw was the Eagles dominating the Chiefs with their defensive front and not allowing Mahomes and that offense to do anything. They suffocated that offense. If the Skins can get Myles Garrett, which there was talk of, you know, before he signed with Cleveland, if they can get Hendrickson, go do it, man. A defensive line can disrupt an absolute 60-minute football game like nothing else. Rush the passer, pressure up front is a huge thing in the NFL. Don't give that quarterback or that offense time to do anything. If the Skins can get Hendrickson, I would go get him right now.
I thought you were actually heading in a different direction when you said, you know, contrarian, don't go with recency bias. It's going to be an offensive year. Offensive, you know, teams are going to prevail and an offensive team is going to win the Super Bowl. I still think, and we haven't had this conversation recently, but Steve, for those of you who don't know, is a massive Skins fan, Commanders fan, and has a super sharp football view and opinion. I still think that if Washington were an average to subpar defensive team, that there's a chance they're going to be even better offensively with the additions of Tunsil and, you know, maybe even Connerly Jr. and Deebo Samuel, and that their offense with Jaden and company is still good enough with an average to less than average defense to win 10 or 11 games.
Oh, for sure. I think the offense is going to be there, just like it was, you know, in the second half of last season. If the defense shows up at all, that's why I think you go get Hendrickson. And that's why I think if they had the ability, I remember you and I chatting about this, and I heard your show all the time when the Myles Garrett nonsense was going on. You go get players like that if you are the Commanders. We got to the NFC Championship game. I mean, they had a chance to win the Super Bowl last year, which is insane to think about it. And you add a couple of pieces here, like you said, with Connerly, with Tunsil. I think Tunsil was an amazing pickup if he stays healthy. And the Deebo Samuel piece, if he's got his head screwed on straight, if that defense shows up at all, it's very similar to golf, which I know we're going to talk to at some point. If the putter works out at all for Scotty and Rory, then they're going to be there because they're great ball strikers. So if the defense shows up at all, you know that the offense is going to put up points. And if the defense just does its job a little bit, it's going to give Jaden the chance in the fourth quarter. And as we saw last year, he comes up pretty money each and every time he's in a big spot.
So let's switch to your passion that is ongoing in its biggest games of the year, and that is the Caps and their 3-1 hole against Carolina. Why have they gotten to where they've gotten, and can they extricate themselves from this 3-1 hole and win this series?
They've been outcoached, they've been outplayed. Carolina is very, very good. Rod Brind'Amour is outstanding. I think Carberry is a good coach, and he's going to be an outstanding coach, but he's not on the level right now, in my opinion, of Rod Brind'Amour. And also, their system is just really difficult to play. Think of it, if you're a college football fan, like having to play Army, Navy, or Air Force and trying to prepare for them and how challenging that is. The Canes play a different system than every other team in the league, and they've got a lot of experience. They always play well against the Caps for some reason in this regard, in this time of year, and I think the Caps are up against it. But I do think the Caps are going to come out and play well tonight. And win tonight and force a game six. And then you never know what happens in sports with momentum, but it's been a pretty bad mismatch thus far. And the Caps have looked a little bit spooked actually on the ice. But I think they're good and they're resilient. And I think they step up tonight and play well, whether they win or not, who knows, but I do think they're going to play well tonight. And I actually do think they're going to force a game six.
If they lose this series, is it a disappointment in terms of, you know, they didn't get it done in the postseason again, or was at least getting out of the first round for the first time in 7 years enough for you?
I think it's never enough. I mean, you always want them to win it all, but I think that they're ahead of schedule, if you will. You know, kind of like, you know, the way the New York Knicks were constructed over the course of the next couple of seasons to kind of wait out Boston and the contracts that they signed early. I think the Caps last year making the playoffs was a bonus. They got swept by the Rangers, but they weren't even supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be in the lottery, for goodness sakes. And now this year they've advanced to the second round, and they had a fantastic season with 100 points and the Ovechkin record, the whole thing. But they're ahead of schedule. I think they're actually going to be better next year. They've got some really good pieces. And, you know, puck luck and weird stuff and matchups, who knows what's going to happen. But it's been a very, very good season, and they're certainly ahead of schedule. The Patricks have done a fabulous job constructing this team, and they'll do an even better job in the offseason to get even more pieces to make them better.
All right, let's talk some golf. PGA Championship starts tomorrow. I know you guys have had the rain all week there. What is that going to do to the course? You know, is it going to be a factor? Are they going to be ready to play tomorrow? Tell me about that to start.
I was out with our guys, Scott and Steve, last night, and we were talking about how wet the golf course is. And Dave Fleming was there, one of the voices of the San Francisco Giants, who's also going to be on the call for ESPN this week. He was out with us as well. They were saying every step you took, Kevin, in the fairway, water would be coming up out of the ground. I'm not talking about just squishy. I'm talking about water coming up out of the ground. So it's going to be a long, long golf course. It's already long, but the weather and the amount of rain they've received here in Charlotte the last couple of days has made this place even longer. But it also makes it wider, which means that if you are an errant driver of the golf ball and you normally are in the rough or in the pine straw or the trees, you might find yourself on the right or left side of the fairways because the ball is not going to bound or bounce so far because it's such a soft ground right now. I think it favors the bombers. It favors the guys who can drive the golf ball really well. And, man, that's got Scotty and Rory and gotten Bryson written all over it, doesn't it? I mean, I'm going to go with some other guys off the board, but if you're looking at it right now, the way the golf course is playing, it's playing perfectly into the hands of those three guys.
You know, everybody understands that follows golf that basically anybody can win on any given week. But are we at a point in this sport right now where Rory and Scotty, Scheffler and McIlroy, for those of you who don't follow the sport, are head and shoulders above the next tier of golfers?
I think so. I think that Scotty and Rory, Scotty just won the CJ Cup by 8 shots, dominating performance. McIlroy's already won.
Yeah,
exactly. Insane. McIlroy's already won 3 times this year, including a Players and the Masters, where he won the career Grand Slam. I think they are far and away the two best players in the world. You know, Xander, Ludvig Åberg, these players are very, Justin Thomas, these players are great, great players. But I don't think they're playing on the level right now that Rory and Scotty are. Justin Thomas is close. Bryson DeChambeau has played some good golf. But with LIV versus the PGA Tour, it's kind of hard, Kevin, to judge. Although he steps up in these big events, as we saw at the Masters, as we saw last year at Pinehurst, where he actually did cross the finish line and won a major. I think that it's Scotty and Rory and the field right now. But as you said, any of these guys can go out there and win this week. A whole number of players can win this week because it's just a different type of sport. It's not mano-a-mano. It's not match play. It's not one game. It's 4 days. But yes, Scotty and Rory have separated themselves for sure from the other players in the field.
I was watching some of the press conferences yesterday, and I was watching Scheffler in particular. By the way, I like him. I think he's thoughtful.
Yeah.
I think he gives great answers. Is he generally thought of that way by you guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's terrific. He's a terrific guy. He's smart. He's thoughtful.
Smart.
He doesn't take fools. You know, if you watched yesterday with him, a couple of times where he looked at the reporter and said, "What's the question? Like, what are you asking? I don't understand." You know, like, not in a rude way, but just more in a matter
because he really wants it clarified.
Exactly. He's a bright man for sure.
So he said something yesterday, and I'm wondering if this is actually just a common opinion now in the golf world. He said, "Rory's the greatest driver of the golf ball in the history of the game." Is that true?
I think so. I think, you know, there have been some others who have driven the golf ball as well. Greg Norman in his day was considered the greatest driver of the golf ball. And considering the equipment that Greg was using versus Rory, you can maybe make a case that Greg Norman's driving ability was sharper than Rory's. But if you take distance, accuracy, and that combination, Rory McIlroy, in my opinion, is probably the greatest driver of the golf ball in the history of the sport.
Does Rory, I'm just curious, I don't know the answer to this. Is he more comfortable drawing the ball or cutting or fading the ball?
Drawing the ball, which is why everybody thought he would do so well at Augusta all these years.
Right.
And it took him a long time to get to the finish line, but he did get there. And that's the reason that everybody has always thought for years that, Augusta works out perfectly for Rory McIlroy because he draws the ball right to left. That's one of the reasons he's won here 4 times in his career. And this place kind of looks like Augusta. It's got the pine straw and the trees. And Johnny Harris is the founder of the club. He's a member at Augusta. It's done on purpose here in Charlotte at the Quail Hollow Club. And McIlroy has won here 4 times, very comfortable here. And the main reason is because he's able to bust his driver and draw it with his shape that he likes right to left, hit it high, hit it far, and then give yourself opportunities to score. You can score on this golf course if you're in the fairway. If you hit it in the rough, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble.
Talking to Steve Sands, of course, NBC and the Golf Channel. So let's just stick on Rory because he is a massive story in the sport and was a massive story last month just in sports overall. With the win at Augusta, is there a feeling that the floodgates have opened and that he's going to go on a tear here?
It's funny. Van Pelt and I were talking about this last night. It's one or the other. People think, okay, he's now going to have no burden on his back. and the burden has been lifted, and everything's just going to open up from here. And the other side is, well, you know, now that he's achieved the career grand slam, these things are really hard to win. You know, maybe that's going to be it. I happen to think it's somewhere in the middle. I do not think he's going to go out and start winning like 8, 9, 10 majors now, although he could because he's that great. But I also don't think he's going to take his foot off the gas. He's a hard worker. He is someone who cares about greatness, about being great, about winning majors, and he's in his mid-30s, for goodness sakes. He's right in the prime of his career. He might have an 11-year run here that he just didn't have for the last 11 years when he didn't win one major, and it could even out over the course of those 22 years that he wins the right number as far as, excuse me, as far as looking at his resume. So I think personally, this golf course is so good for him, Kevin, that he is going to be in contention this week unless something bizarre happens. Oakmont is perfect for him, and so is Royal Portrush, where he's from, you know, 20 minutes from his home in Hollywood, Northern Ireland. So I think he's going to win another major this year, and I think it could very well be this week, which could set up for an amazing U.S. Open at Oakmont in Pittsburgh next month if he wins the first two major championships. That hasn't been done since Spieth in 2015 when he won at Chambers Bay after winning the Masters in 2015. But, yeah, I think it's the burden's been lifted, Kevin. But whether or not that translates into winning more majors, we're just going to have to wait and see. It's just such an odd sport in that regard. You've got to bring your game to a major. You don't find your game. So sometimes he has to find it. Sometimes he's bringing it. This week he's bringing it, which means he's going to have a great chance to win.
I think I read this morning, and I'm looking for it right now, but I think it's Tiger, Jack, Palmer, Spieth, and I forget who the fifth one was. Only five players in the history of the game have won the first two majors of the year. I mean, if he were to win here, that would create unbelievable bedlam and anticipation for Oakmont and the U.S. Open next month.
You know, you know who's rooting for that, Kevin?
Who?
My employer.
Of course. Yeah, no, it'd be massive for sports. Here it is. It's Ben Hogan. Hogan's the fifth.
Yeah.
Hogan, Palmer, Nicholas Woods, and Spieth. Of course, Jordan Spieth, if he were to contend and win here, then he would actually win and complete the career major grand slam. You don't expect him to win here, do you?
I do not. He's never really performed well on this golf course. He is driving the ball beautifully, but he's just not putting well. And I just don't think he's going to do it this week. Looking down the road at the PGA Championship, I think he could pick it off in certain places. But this golf course, for whatever reason, does not suit his eye. Same with Scottie Scheffler, by the way. He has not, ever played on this golf course. So who knows what's going to happen with him. But Spieth has never really performed well on Quail Hollow. And I don't expect him to win the career grand slam this week.
Do the players, now that we've, Oak Hill recently, I forget some of the others, would they prefer to play? I know that they loved Philly cricket last week, and not that that could host necessarily a PGA championship, but do they prefer the old courses, the legendary courses, versus the newer courses like Quail Hollow? Like, what is the view of players playing a major at Quail Hollow?
They love Quail Hollow because over the years they've gotten to know it as a venue that was leading towards hosting majors. It hosted the 2017 PGA, Justin Right. Thomas won. It hosted the President's Cup a few years ago. They love Quail Hollow. There are very few PGA Tour venues year in, year out that could host a major championship in the eyes of the players, but this is certainly one of them. And they, by the way, to answer your question on the other side, they love the old school courses. They love going to Marion and Shinnecock and Wingfoot and all those guys, Oakmont, all those guys, Pinehurst, along with going to play places like Pebble Beach, which is obviously fabulous. And Quail Hollow is certainly a worthy PGA Championship venue, just like our backyard at Congressional in D.C., outside D.C., that's a worthy place. Three U.S. Opens, Ken Venturi, Ernie Els, and Rory McIlroy all are Hall of Fame. Rory's not in yet because he's not eligible because he's too young, but they're going to host a PGA Championship at Congressional and also a Ryder Cup at Congressional in the late 2030s. So, you know, they love the old school golf courses. By the way, I'll be there next week for the Senior PGA, Kevin. Hopefully we can grab a drink or
grab a drink. Senior PGA there. I mean, it's not the old line, tree-lined Congressional blue like it once was.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You know, but it's
What are they doing to these golf courses where you have these trees? Come on now. Don't do that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to your thoughts and picks. Who are you picking to win it?
I think McIlroy's going to win. He's won here four times. Loves the golf course. And he also, if you remember 2011 at Congressional, speaking of Congressional, he loves soft golf courses.
Yeah.
And because of all the rain, it's been soft. I do think Scotty should play well here. Like I said, he's never played a stroke play event here. Played in the President's Cup a few years ago, but never played a stroke play event here at Quail Hollow. Justin Thomas is someone you have to look at because he's won here and because he just won recently and he's playing some great, great golf. If you're going to go off the board a little bit, I would go with Sepp Straka and Tyrrell Hatton if you're looking at to go way off the board there.
Straka just had him come off that win last weekend.
Straka with a win. He's a baller, Kevin. Man, that kid can play. And he's starting to get the confidence and the moxie. You know, it's almost like if he knew he was as good as the other guys knew he is, that kind of thing. And he's starting to realize that. And Tyrrell Hatton, I think, will play well here this week as well. But I think it's going to be top-heavy. I think it's going to be McIlroy, Thomas, Scheffler, and then those other guys I talked about a little off the board.
And you think because of how wet it is, you got to be able to hit the ball a long way. So I'm assuming that you would not love Denny this week, McCarthy.
I think it's a tough spot for Denny. Now, Denny is a guy who's got a ton of heart and a ton of game. But this might not be kind of like matchups in hockey or the NBA or the NFL. This probably isn't a good matchup for Denny this week. I would love to see him contend, and he has contended in big events. But I don't see it here this week.
Being able to go at pins here early, are you seeing a very low winning score?
Wait till you see tomorrow morning, Kevin. The ball doesn't move. I mean, the ball's not rolling because it's just so wet. So
it's playing longer, but they're going to be able to go at pins.
Correct. So I think you're going to see some really low scores, and you're going to see some really high scores as well.
Yeah. All right. Rory, if he can do it this weekend, that would set up just unbelievable anticipation for Marion,
Oakmont. It'd be outrageous.
Marion, Philly, Oakmont, Western PA.
Correct. Oakmont has hosted more USGA events than any other place. It'll be fun next month, but this week will be a good one. It's a Quail Hollow is a worthy place, and the PGA is going to be a fun. It should be a really good week.
And look, this is where you get PGA professionals, and occasionally you'll get one to play really well. You know, somebody, Scheffler was talking about this, and I've read this elsewhere, that among the PGA professionals out there, there are guys that could easily be on the tour and playing at a high level. They've just chosen not to lead that life, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, some of those guys can really, really play. They all can really play. In comparison to people like me and you. But in comparison to the tour players, if these guys actually tried to hone their craft to the point where they could play regularly on the PGA Tour, I think there are at least a couple of them who could succeed for sure. There's some really, really good PGA professionals out there who just decided for whatever reason to go a different route.
All right. Where can we watch you? What's the schedule the next few days?
Oh, man. You know, Golf Channel's all over it. This is CBS and ESPN week, so we don't have it.
Scott's calling the first 2 days, right? Did I lose you?
Yeah, I think the call just dropped out.
Oh, okay. Steve, thank you for that. Appreciate it. But he'll be all over the Golf Channel all weekend long. And remember, they've got, some of the early morning coverage, I think, as well. Should be... I don't know. These majors are always awesome. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, we now stream on the YouTube ESPN 980, ESPN 980, the Team 980 YouTube page. Subscribe and like us when you get there.